Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
Amen. I hope all of you had a great 4th of July celebration. And being that we just came through the 4th of July, I have a message that I want to share with you today. And I want to begin with two verses from the book of Psalms. These two verses move us from the negative to the positive. In Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, we find the sobering words, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." The word hell in this verse is the Old Testament word Sheol, which is a place of death and destruction. The New Testament counterpart is the word Gehenna, which is a place of fire and burning and outer darkness. But either way, what we're talking about here is a place after death for which there is no escape for all who reject God and practice wickedness. But notice the positive contrast that we have in Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen for His own inheritance. You'll notice on the projection that the title of my message, "The Land of the Free," ends with a question mark. And I put that question mark there because I personally believe that the freedom that we have so long enjoyed and been blessed with and perhaps have taken for granted, that freedom is now in question and has been for a long time. Our culture, our history, our heritage, and our national identity are under assault. And I for one am deeply offended when people desecrate the American flag. I am deeply offended when people denigrate our founding fathers. I'm deeply offended when people teach that America is illegitimate in its founding. I'm deeply offended when people attempt to deny and or rewrite history. I believe in American exceptionalism. America is unique and distinct in its founding and its form of government, and as such, it became the greatest nation on the face of the earth, the greatest source of prosperity and freedom this world has ever known. And what has made America exceptional is that our existence and our freedom is rooted in God and the laws of God, and we want that for all nations. What has made America exceptional and unique is a mix of limited government, natural rights. When we talk about natural rights, we're talking about rights that only God can give you. The rights that come from God. Spiritual freedom. The freedom to think and to speak and to believe according to the dictates of one's own conscience. America is not perfect and never has been, but it is exceptional. Yes, it is. As someone once said, "My country, right or wrong. When right to be kept right, when wrong to be made right." I love my country. I make no apology for that. I'm thankful for my country. the country that God has allowed me to be born into and to be blessed by. And if I say something in this message that resembles criticism, it's more like a lover's quarrel or a family feud. I mean, you might be a little bit critical of your family at times, but you don't want someone outside criticizing your family. That's the way I feel about the United States of America. And maybe, just maybe, maybe today, maybe I'm just wet behind the ears. Maybe my idealism for America is way too high. Maybe what I desire for this country is out of reach now. But is it too much to ask? Is it too much to ask for a government that's somewhat honest and efficient? Is it too much to ask for a secure border, a national identity, a unifying language? I'll tell you something right now. I am deeply offended when I turn on the television and there's a commercial that's in Spanish only. We're not in Mexico. We're in the United States of America. If you come into this nation to be a citizen, learn to speak English. Make English the official language of our nation. You say, Pastor, why are you getting off on that? I'll tell you why. Because the way you destroy a nation is you dilute the language. What do we see happening now? They're parsing words like male, female, family. The way you destroy a nation is to dilute the language and the culture and just end up with the Tower of Babel. Is it too much today to want a safe nation like we once had, where we had the freedom to hold political and biblical convictions without being verbally assaulted or physically harmed, without being persecuted and thrown into prison? This is the very reason our nation began. Our nation began to escape tyranny and oppression, but here we are. We've come full circle, just like ancient Israel. And I'm going to come back to ancient Israel at the end of my message, so keep that in mind for a few moments. Yes, we strive for a more perfect union, but our system of government, which I believe has been the most genius and the best form of government ever conceived, it is broken. It's broken. It's corrupted. It isn't working. And the reason is because it depends on a certain amount of virtue and morality and truth. And those things are gone. They're missing today. Let me say something here before I jump into the points, the 3 points that I want to make in this message. I want to make this very clear. I do not worship America. I do not worship the American flag. I do not worship the Constitution. I worship God. And my first allegiance is not to America. My first allegiance is to Jesus, my Lord and Savior, who paid the ultimate price for me to be truly free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Having said that, let's consider for a few moments. Just consider with me for a few moments. 3 things. The founding of our nation, the failure of our nation, and the future of our nation. First of all, the founding of our nation. Folks, when you talk about the founding of our nation, the facts are there. They're undeniable. America was founded upon a belief in God and the principles and the precepts of God's Word. Were all of our founding fathers what we might consider solid Christians? People talk about Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, and they point them out. All of our founding fathers believed in God, and they believed in the truth of the Bible. And that is a fact. And you can see God's hand working. God had a, How many of you believe that God had a plan for America? It goes all the way. Look. I want to show you this. You can see the hand of God working in Christopher Columbus, and he's been bashed and denigrated. I want you to see the words that he spoke. When he talked about this expedition that he was going on and this exploration and so forth, he pointed out that it was the Lord who put this in his mind. The Lord gave him these thoughts. And he said, I can feel the hand of God upon me. And then he said this, all who heard of my project rejected it with laughter, ridiculing me. There is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit. These are the words of Christopher Columbus. Because he comforted me with rays of marvelous inspiration from the Holy Scriptures. That's from The Light and the Glory, page 17, if you want to check it out. George Washington. I mean, these people in our nation today, trying to throw down statues of George Washington, these people couldn't even crawl on the ground and tie the shoes of George Washington. Here's what George Washington said. If America ever separates itself from the moral and spiritual and religious foundation upon which it was founded, it will face ruin. But here's what Jesus said. If a house is divided against itself, what? What that house cannot what? If we continue to be divided like this in our nation, we're not going to make it. In talking about the founding of our nation, let me mention briefly two things I want to bring out here. The search for freedom and the struggle for freedom. Number one, the search for freedom. Our founding fathers came searching for spiritual freedom. The pilgrims came searching for spiritual freedom, the freedom to worship as they desired, to believe, to think, to speak. A former South American, one of the South American presidents said, South America was founded by men seeking gold, but North America was founded by men seeking God. Have you ever read the Mayflower Compact? Look what they said here. Now, look, these are words that are historical facts. They said, in the name of God, amen, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Wow. The advancement of the Christian faith, do solemnly and mutually in the presence of God, covenant and combine ourselves together. John Adams, the second president of the United States, he said this, the general principles on which the Father achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. Not Islam, not Hinduism, Christianity. We were founded as a Christian nation. And there's a struggle, not only a search for freedom, the struggle for freedom. How many of you today know that freedom is not free? There's a price to be paid for freedom. Look at this statement that I wrote here. A person who won't use freedom to defend freedom doesn't deserve freedom. Folks, I want to tell you something. We better be struggling. We better be struggling for freedom before it's gone. You know, I was thinking of something that happened to me. Maybe this has happened to you before, but I don't remember what city I was in. I was in one of these downtown areas, you know, where you go in and it's all parking meters. You know, you have a parking spot and there's the meter, and you get out, you put your quarters in the meter. So I was looking for a parking space, and I pulled in there, and I got out. I was getting ready to get my quarters, you know, stick them in that meter, and I saw that there was a bunch of time left on the meter. Someone paid way too much, gave me plenty of time for whatever I had to do. I didn't have to pay anything. You know what I thought? Someone paid the price for me to park in that space. to have the blessing of parking in that space. That's the way I feel about America. Our founding fathers paid the price. Our veterans who served this country and died for this country, they paid the price for me that I could enjoy the benefits of this great nation. Are we just going to throw it away, or are we going to struggle to maintain that freedom? Oh, there's so much more I could say even on that alone. But let's look secondly at the failure of our nation. And no, our nation hasn't completely failed yet. And I was going to say in this sermon, I was going to say we're dying a slow death. No, we are dying a rapid death in this nation. We are in the latter stages of a cancer that's eating at the core of this nation. We're almost 250 years old. When you think of other nations, when you think of Rome, for example. Rome wasn't built in a day, and Rome did not fall in a day. Why did Rome fall? High taxation, political corruption, a weak military, invasion by foreign peoples and languages and influences, and basic moral rot and depravity. And what do you have in America today? You have all of that. You have all of it. America as a nation. I'm talking about as a nation as a whole. I'm preaching to the choir. I'm assuming that you kind of agree with some of this. Maybe not. I don't know. But I'm basically preaching to people who have a belief in God. But America as a nation is failing for two major reasons. Reason number one, America as a nation has forgotten God. We as a nation have turned our backs on God. I want to give you two quotes from Abraham Lincoln. Quote number one, "The smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained." And then Abraham Lincoln made this tremendous statement. Look at this. This was about approximately 160 years ago when he said this. "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and circled us and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these things were produced by some superior virtue and wisdom of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God who made us." It's time that we turn back to God, because I believe in many ways our nation as a whole has forgotten God. And here's the second reason. America as a nation has forsaken God's word. You know, I've been a little bit encouraged lately, because I've been watching this thing, maybe in other states, but I know for sure that in Louisiana they're trying to get the Ten Commandments back into to schools. And here's the thing. I'm old enough, maybe some of you aren't old enough here, but maybe a lot of you are. And we remember that epic battle for the Ten Commandments in the school back in 1980. You remember Judge Moore from Alabama and the struggle and the fight for the Ten Commandments? And here is what our Supreme Court said. A statement from our Supreme Court. This is absolute insanity. But here's what they said. If the posted copies of the Ten Commandments are to have any effect at all, it will be to induce the school children to read them. And if they read them, they'll meditate on them. And if they meditate on them, they will respect and obey them. And they said, that's unconstitutional. That children should read, understand, and obey the Ten Commandments. But now you put that statement alongside this statement from James Madison. He was the fourth president of the United States. Here's what James Madison was the chief architect of the Constitution. And here's what he said. The words of James Madison. We stake the whole future of our American civilization not on the power of government. The government is supposed to be for the people, by the people, of the people. He said, it's not the power of the government, far from it, but upon the capacity of each and every one of us to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. Let me tell you today, what do you have when you remove the Bible and the influence of the Bible from society? What do you have? You have exactly what we have in America today. Everyone does what's right in their own eyes. Everybody's trying to make up their own truth, their own rules, their own guidelines. Our major cities are cesspools of depravity and death. And I'm just saying it's because we've forgotten God and we've forsaken the Word of God. Here's the bottom line. Look at this. Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. Maybe you just have your head in the sand and everything's just beautiful and wonderful. I don't know. But for me, I'm groaning. I'm groaning for America with words too deep. Groans too deep for words. Because I believe we're living in very difficult times. But brings me to the last point I want to make. Because is there hope? Is there any hope? I believe there is hope. But I want you to consider the future of America. I said I was going to mention Israel again. And you see the same thing that happened to Israel, it's happened to us. Israel, God delivered them from bondage, brought them into a new land, blessed them with prosperity and blessings, and then they went right back into bondage. They came full circle. And that's what we're doing right now in America. Look at this verse in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 4. Here the people said, the prophet said what the people were saying. He said, do not trust in these lying words saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. You say, well, what does that mean? It means that everything, when you look at the context of that, everything was crumbling. The prophets were calling and warning them of judgment that was coming if they didn't turn back to God. And they were saying, we have the, hey, that's not a problem for us. We have the temple of the Lord. We have the temple of the Lord. We're safe. We're invincible. The Bible says, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. And I want to tell you something today. America is not invincible. It only takes one generation to bring us down. We're not invincible. So what is the answer? God is our answer. God's the only one that can give us hope. God's the only one that can bring us out of this. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then God says, I'll heal the land. There's a chance for healing. There's a chance to get this turned around. You say, Pastor, what? I'm just one person. I live in Pleasance County. I live in small state of West Virginia. What is it that I can do? All believers can do three things. And I'll just mention these very briefly. Number one, wake up. Wake up. Open your eyes to the spiritual battle. The enemy is not your neighbor. The enemy is not someone who disagrees with you. The enemy is the devil, the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the Bible says, be sober, be alert, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. All it takes for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. So my first word is, wake up. Number two, speak up. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed. I'm not going to shut up. Are you? I'm going to speak up. Speak the truth in love. Let's always be guided by love and not the spirit of hate and vengeance. And then, last of all, before we join into this blessed sacrament of Holy Communion, last thing I want to say to you is that we need to look up. There's hope, folks. Amen? There's hope. Jordan was singing that first song, I believe, where we talked about our eyes being open and there's a future. We're going to be talking tonight about overcoming faith. There is hope. Look up. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. How many of you believe that God's in control? God is in control. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord and all it contains, the world and all who dwell in it. God is in control. And I'll close with this. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus was enumerating all the signs. You know, look for these signs at the end of the time. We could see all the signs everywhere. Everywhere. And then he said, look up. Lift up your heads. For your redemption draws near. And folks, the good news today is we're closer now than when we first believed. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what the rest of this year holds. I don't know if America will make it or not. What I know is my God is able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. My God is in control. Would you join me in prayer? Our God and Father, as we come now to the end of this message today, I pray for my life. I pray for every person, every young person, every child, every person in America, that we would be good citizens. But Lord, more importantly, we need to be citizens of heaven. Our true citizenship is in your kingdom. So help us to be bearers of light and truth. Help us to be hope to our community, to our nation. And Lord, as we partake of this sacrament, I mentioned, Lord, those who even gave their lives, they gave their blood for this nation, blood, sweat, and tears. But Lord, as we come to this table today, as we come to this sacrament, you gave your life for our freedom. You gave your blood for our salvation. I pray today in your holy name, Jesus, break every demonic stronghold. Set people free today. Let us come to this time, Lord, where we can confess where we failed, and we can say, Lord, come into my heart and forgive me, as we remember what it is that you did for us in giving your body and your blood. This I pray now in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.